Blog Talk Radio.
Take my life.
God bless you. God bless you. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, everyone who has decided to take this time and join us on our journey this evening on the broadcast, God's Word to Man. That was Micah Stampley. Micah Stampley was an oldie but goodie. Take My Life. The song is called Holiness. Take My Life, Holiness by Micah Stampley. Amen. Amen. God bless each and every one of you. This is Brother Manny. Tonight is Monday night, and so we're going to have a discussion slash sort of a sharing of the words, so to speak, tonight. Like every Monday night, I give you the opportunity to call in and ask your questions, to make a comment, and as long as it is respectful and in order, you know, I don't mind allowing you to be on the air with us. And so the number to call in is 323-870-3403. Again, that number is 323-870-3403. We also have an email address, godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's G-O-D-S-W-O-R-D, the number 2, M-A-N, @gmail.com. I want to also make you guys aware of our social media presence. We are on Facebook at God's Word to Man. Definitely go over and follow us there. We post often about our broadcasts. We do live broadcasts, and we also post different scriptures and encouraging messages on that channel there on Facebook. So look for us on Facebook as well. And just today, we decided that we are going to do a morning prayer. I am going to lead, and you know, whoever else wants to join me in doing a morning prayer. The topic or the cause for the prayer, God has given me to intercede and to cry out for the young people today, the youth, our children, our young adults. And if you want to join that, you can dial 712-775-7061. Again, that number is 712-775-7061. The access code is 591031. 591031. We're going to be praying. I encourage and I invite all who want to come and pray with me on behalf of our youth today, or if you want to just call out a name or names, feel free to come on and just start saying the names of the individuals that need the prayer. And it is my prayer and dedication that I believe God is going to work something supernatural, a supernatural miracle in the lives of our young people. And that as we war and strategize against the kingdom of darkness for our young people, that God will begin to open up and illuminate the minds of our young people and cause them to start to becoming aware of the calling that is on their life for the glory of God. That is my mission, my strategy, and my reasoning behind having this prayer, and I'm going to do it and keep that line open for prayer at 8 a.m. in the morning, Central Standard Time, every single day. I'm going to say a prayer, and I may be on there. I'm not giving myself any time limits. I'm going to start at 8 a.m., though, every single day, and I'm going to be in prayer for our young people. Please join me. And so we're going to get back to the topic tonight. Now that we've gotten some of the particulars out of the way, our topic tonight is, in order for us to heal, we first must be broken. In order for us to heal, we first must be broken. And I'm not alone tonight. I got my brother always. He's always here to back me up and to correct me and to sometimes lead, a lot of the time lead, because I'm still young in the Lord and I'm learning. And, you know, it's always good to have that elder present to back you up. You know what I'm saying? So I want to introduce my brother, who happens to be also my blood brother. We're blood brothers in Christ, and then we're biological brothers. We share the same mother and father. God bless you, Rev. How are you tonight?
I'm blessed, God. Bless you, Brother Manny. And thank you, as always, for having us on, having this platform, and allowing us to discuss the word of the Lord. It is an honor. And I continue to pray God's blessing upon you and your family. And may God continue to bless you guys richly. Just even for these efforts and allowing this opportunity for us to let God use us to be a blessing to his people. So God bless you. Thank you, Brother Matt.
No problem. Thank you, Rev. I appreciate you, man. Love you. And as always, you know, we, even if it's just me and you, I don't care if we have one listener or 1,000 listeners. It don't matter to me. We're going to get the job done. So, you know, as I spoke, I was speaking with you earlier about something that God was sharing with me. It really sort of became magnified as we were on Bible study the other night on Thursday, and how you were talking about Christ and how he broke the bread for the 5,000 men. And a lot of people don't know that that 5,000 the Bible talks about, it's talking about 5,000 men. It's not necessarily talking about women and children. There were women and children there as well. So Christ could have easily fed 10,000 people, and we wouldn't, I mean, without us knowing that number. I'm just saying, you know, that was a miracle within itself. But one thing that he's spoken to my spirit is that he broke the bread, and that's when he was able to feed all the people.
Yes.
It called into my remembrance when he was with his disciples, and I'm sure that he had sat down for a meal with his disciples before, but this particular time was right before he was crucified, and he took the unleavened bread and he broke the bread. And it made me realize how it really symbolized to me, and it may not be what others take away from it or even what the scripture is saying, but it's something that I looked at as kind of special, that he broke the bread just like his body would be broken for us, so that we may have life, life abundantly, eternal life with him in heaven.
That's right.
He restored something back to us by allowing his body to be broken.
That's right.
And at first I kind of said it, but I struggled with it a little bit, and then he began to reveal some things to me. He said, you know, you have to be broken. And I said, well, Lord, I know I'm not doing everything I'm supposed to do, you know, but I'm definitely going to try more. And I just kept hearing, but you have to be broken. And that interested me to start researching what he meant by that. What does it mean to be broken? And so one of the scriptures that came to me, and I'm going to read it, it's in the 51st Psalms. And I just want to, again, if anybody have any questions or comments, you can call in using the numbers 323-870-3403. I'm going to go to Psalm 51, and we're going to go to 17, verse 17. And just to give a quick, you know, synopsis of the chapter, Brother David, King David, is really pouring out his heart to God in this psalm. He is really, he is really going before God, and he's broken, he's battered, he's distraught, he's emotional, he's a whole lot of things. It intrigued me. The type of words and the imagery that came to my mind based on how he was writing. David was an excellent writer. And in the 17th verse, well, let's start at 16. Well, no, let's start at 15. It's just so good. I mean, I really want to read the whole chapter, but I'm not going to do that for the sake of time. But he said in the 15th verse, he said, O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it.
Yes.
Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, broken and a contrite heart. Oh God, despise. Now, if you read up ahead and you start at number one, you see, man, David is messed up. He is like, please, God, purify me. Please, God, forgive me. Forget my sin as if they never existed. He is broken. He is at his wit's end. He is tired. If I could even suggest, he'd been up all night praying. I said, God, is this the type of brokenness that you're talking about? I want to read something really quick to you, and then I'm going to let my brother you know, get on the mic for a while, because I know he has something very good for us. I'm going to read this because I was looking for something that could articulate what brokenness is, because I've been walking around here and saying on Facebook and telling people I'm trying to be broken. I'm trying to get to the place where I'm broken, where my life truly belongs to God. That I'm just not saying it with my words, but I'm manifesting it with my actions. I'm going to read this little article, this little cutout here. It says, the word brokenness refers to the state of total surrender and defeat. It is the total surrender and defeat we experience sometimes when hardship occurs. It comes into our usual steady and painless life. Sometimes brokenness before God is the result of sin, our sin or someone else's, and other times it is the result of circumstances. No one enjoys the feeling of brokenness, but the powerful benefits it brings to our spiritual growth are immense. I'm going to let you go ahead and open up here, Rev, everyone, the Reverend Joseph, or Pastor Joseph Charles Murphy, senior pastor of the Caring Church of Memphis. Go ahead, bro.
So what I love about the passage of scripture that you're reading, it really puts a perspective upon how sin is viewed and the weight of it. And what David is saying, David's not in a place. Let me kind of give you a contrasting understanding. David is not one of those individuals who's saying all have sinned. He's not one of those individuals who's saying that, you know, hey, listen, we all have this issue or that issue. So David is making this thing personal, and he is, if I could say it this way, he is literally upset with himself. He's offended by his own self, by his own sin, and he's extremely sorrowful to the point that he is in the state that he's in, because what helps drive his level of sorrow is his understanding of what he has been called to and who has called him to it, and how at this point he has become a disappointment to that calling. And all of us post the crucifixion should have this level of contrition, because what we should be really looking at is every time we sin, whether it's willful or on accident, we should understand that we're in a sense we're taking advantage of the crucifixion. We're taking advantage of the fact that Jesus was not just, we can't simply look at him being just crucified. We must look at the fact that they beat Jesus all night long. We have to look at the fact that they pulled his beard out a strand of hair at a time. They spit on him. They put a crown of thorns in his head. They pierced him in his side. They nailed him in his hands and his feet. Jesus didn't go. This was not a party for Jesus. This wasn't a time of celebration for Jesus. And every time we sin, it's almost as if we're taking the cross, the work of the cross, for granted. And so David, pre-Jesus, Jesus appearing in the flesh, David already understands and has this sense, because he loves God at a level in the Old Testament that really not too many other people loved God. And so was David perfect? No. But one of the reasons that made David the apple of God's eye is because David, whether it was being held accountable by his friend Nathan, or whether it was by self-recognition, David understood what it meant to disappoint God, to fall short of what he should be. And that takes a level of self-awareness. That takes a level of saying to oneself, I refuse to walk in pride and justify what I've done. I'm going to be honest about where I am, and I'm going to seek a level of recompense with God, so that I am back in right standing with God. And when we look at it that way, imagine if we were to be contrite if we sin. I mean, you know, the body of Christ, number one, we would probably be in a closer relationship with God than ever before, but we also will be walking in a level of power that comes with being contrite, a level of power mm-hmm. that comes with saying, hey, listen, I know that I'm not right, and I seek and I desire to be right, and because we seek and desire to be right, God is going to empower us. And so I love the story of this text that you just read, because it really puts in perspective where David's mind and his heart was about himself. He wasn't looking at what everybody else was doing. He wasn't mm-hmm. looking for friends of his to justify what he was doing. You know, some of us know how to call people that'll encourage us to do crazy. But David had friends around him who would hold him accountable. And that's what we got to surround ourselves with, because if you're really my friend, especially if we're brothers and sisters in Christ, if we're really in a relationship, you have the right to hold me accountable. And don't let the devil tell you that I'm judging you. No, we're holding each other in accountability, in love, so that we can all be in a better place with God. But listen, a person in pride is not going to walk in that. But if you can humble yourself, if you can break yourself, if you can take yourself to the place of saying, listen, I am nothing. I am nothing but with God I can be everything. And listen, that self-acknowledgement of our sin and how sin stinks in the nostrils of God, and you can take yourself to a place of saying, you know what? Not that you hate yourself, but you hate that sin is in you, and you want to get it out so very bad. That's where David really was with this.
Amen. And I feel like I feel like that's the place where God is really taking us or causing us to go. You know, to be in a place where, well, I'll put it to you this way. This is how I began to study it. Because I said, okay, I see David. He is really, okay, it's given me a better understanding of what being broken really means. But then I said, you know what, let me just go ahead and look up the word broken. And so that's what I did. And there are many, definitions here, but the one that it really stands out to me is the third definition, the B part of it. It says subdued completely, and I don't know why that stuck out to me, being subdued. Subdued. I said, okay, well, let me go a little deeper and see, you know. And one definition under subdued is to bring under subjection. And I was like, wait a minute now. I've heard that word mentioned in the Bible. So I'm going to just research. And I said, and it's probably a very elementary or a novice way of going about it. But again, I'm learning here, and I want y'all just to kind of follow what I'm saying. And I know, Rev, you can appreciate this. Subdued and subjected. Subdued. You know, to bring under control. Right? Or one definition says, subjugate. Right? And I said, okay, subdued, subjugate, all these words. Okay, subjection. I like that word, subjection, because I said, I remember hearing that in the word. I said, okay. So I said, all right, subjection. What does subjection mean? Well, I said, well, I want to go to the word now. The definition of subjection I said, what scripture can we put toward that? So I went ahead and I looked up the scripture, and I found one in 1 Corinthians, and this is Paul talking. This is Paul talking, and he's talking about mastering, defeating your flesh, keeping your flesh under subjection before God. And this is a component of being broken. That's a major component, the flesh part of it. And I want to go deeper into the flesh part of it in other broadcasts, but this is the part that we really have the most problem with. Would you agree with that, Rem?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And it is, and a definition, let's put it this way. The Bible tells us if we sow to our flesh, then there's no other recourse but to reap from your flesh. If you sow to the Spirit, then you shall reap from the Spirit. And so we have the desire to feed our spirit man, that's going to require us to spend some quality time before God. Now, when you're spending quality time before God, you're really spending time before a spiritual mirror that is showing you who you and what you really are. And so once we begin to see that, that's when we can have this place of humility that then leads us to a place of having a godly desire to live right, to strive for perfection. Now watch this. This piece that we talked about a little while ago called contrition, contrition is actually a level of saying, I don't want to be this way. It's not a sense of trying to find a even balance of how I can still, you know, do stuff in my flesh and still kind of call myself saved. No, contrition says, I don't even want to be remotely associated with sin. And it's not about a level of pride that makes me holier than thou or that makes me more saved than anybody else. It's, again, it goes back to the word I said earlier. It's a personal thing. And so once we have that desire through the teaching of God's word, through the mirror of God's word that shows us and how messed up we are without Christ, then once we can see that, then now our desire changes, even our appetite for sin changes. We began to develop a disdain for sin, and we began to desire a hunger and thirst for what is right. And the scripture tells us, those who hunger, and Matthew, I think that's chapter 5 or 6 where the Beatitudes are, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. And so we must leave this place of satisfaction with sin and enter a place of pursuit of what's right before God, and being broken is the avenue that brings that into fruition. You gotta be broken. You gotta take yourself to a place. And let me say this, it's not even about a level of sin or an amount of sin. It's about understanding that the Bible says, be ye holy for I am holy. And if we're to be in fellowship with God, we gotta be like him. We gotta be like him, and God is not looking for excuses to do crazy or to do sin or whatever. You know, God, there's a pursuit and a desire to make sure we're doing right, and that happens. That's only born out of being broken. That's only born out of saying, I'm tired of this. I don't want to be this way no more. I don't want to live this way. I don't want to think this way. And the only way you can control your thinking, your conversation, and your behavior is by retraining yourself. As Paul said in Romans 12:2, I must be transformed by the renewing of my mind, renewing my mind in the word of God. And then watch this, not just getting my mind together, but now that I've learned the word of God, I must then declare the word of God over my life.
Amen. Amen. You're right. You're right. And I like how Paul put it when he talks about in the first Corinthians, he's talking about discipline. 1 Corinthians 9th chapter in the 27th verse, he's talking about almost making yourself a slave. Making yourself a slave, really, to the word. You know, subduing the body, right? Subduing the flesh. In fact, let me go ahead and pull up the scripture. He's talking about subduing the flesh. He said, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. That's a daily thing. Like you say, that's a personal thing. Bringing your flesh under subjection, getting into God's word, that's a daily thing. And people say, well, that sounds good. You know, man, that sounds good, but you don't know what I deal with on a daily basis. You know, you don't know what I've been through with COVID. You don't know what I've been through with my husband or my wife or my children. I'm trying, but, you know, sometimes it's just hard out here, you know, to keep yourself together, to keep yourself under subjection. But I have another scripture for that, but I just want to bring on, well, Brother Keevan was on. I want, when Brother Keevan comes back, I'm going to let him also chime in on this, because in 2 Corinthians 4 and 8, I'm going to read that in a minute, but I want to welcome on my brother, Brother Keevan. God bless you, Brother Keevan.
God bless you. How are you, gentlemen, tonight?
Bless. God bless you, Brother Keevan. Always good to hear your voice, sir.
Amen. Yours too, brother.
Amen, Brother Keevan. We're talking about brokenness and being broken. The Lord has been sharing with me some things and taking me through some things has caused me to get back into my word for real, for real. I'm not talking about that, okay, I wake up in the morning, read one scripture, then I pray 10-minute prayer, and then, okay, it's time to start my day. I'm talking about real study, real consecration, because things that have been going on, especially among the young people, the Lord has given me a heart to pray and intercede for the young people in the morning when I first wake up, you know, as I start my day. And I said, well, Lord, I got to get prepared for that. I mean, that's you know, that's serious. That's a dead thing. I mean, you know, I got to have my spirit right. And he said, no, you got to be broken. In total surrender and subjection to my will and my word. And I said, well, wow, I wanted to research that and study that. And so I wanted to make it the topic here on the broadcast so that I could glean some of the wisdom and some of the instruction that you guys bring to the broadcast, and so that others could hear it and also be blessed and get the information as well. And I was reading where Paul said even he have to keep his flesh under subjection, lest he become a castaway. You know, lest he become a reproach. At least he become somebody who allows sin to creep in and to destroy his witness. You know, I'm going to read here 2 Corinthians 4, 8 and, through 10. And, it says here, 4:8-10. Make sure I got that scripture. All right. It says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies. See, that when people don't understand that when Christ died, when he suffered, when he allowed his body to be broken, yes, that provided a level of access to kingdom, right? But in order to access it, like Christ, you have to be broken as well. So all kinds of things are going to happen. You're going to see more things happen than COVID come about. You're going to start experiencing a host of trials and tribulations and persecutions. But if you are not broken, you're not going to be able, you're not going to be able to survive what's coming. You got to be totally and utterly saturated and in tune with the voice of the Most High. And the only way we can do that is through God's word. Brother Kevin, I'm going to allow you to go ahead and then I'm going to go to back to Rev, okay?
Amen. Amen. I'm in total agreement with what you're saying, brother, because, you know, the Lord has really had me over the last 3-4 months to really get consecrated and to really get into the secret place with him. And, you know, I think a lot of the Christian world believes that once you're born again, that, you know, all of my problems are going to go away. Everything is going to, be. That's why so many people, they kind of straddle the fence. And because we know our level of trust in the flesh, we know how well we could be trusted with things. We know how we vacillate with things. So it becomes difficult to put your trust in someone you can't see, in just his word. But we have to understand, like, I was listening to Red say about that fellowship that we have to have, about that being one with him. So we have to be your partner. We have to be your partners with him. So, you know, when we are, like you mentioned, Brother Manny, that access that we have, you know, and it has a lot of benefits. It has a lot of benefits to it that a lot of people don't understand, but the major benefit is our relationship with him, how he has made that available. And like you said, there's going to be many things that are going to transpire in, you know, throughout the world. We have to be able to stand, but we have to have something to stand on. So, you know, Jesus, I forgot where it was. I believe it's in Matthew, where he talks about how the wind came to beat up on the rock. And when you're anchored on the rock, there's no way. But you may sway back and forth, but you can't be moved from that place. And I think this is where God is trying to get us all to a place to where we're rooted and grounded in his word. You know, the Bible tells us to set our affections up on things that are above, you know, and that this attitude of God taking me into the secret place is causing me to deny myself more and more every day. It's causing me to yield to the Holy Spirit when he says to do things, you know, and oftentimes we look at fellowship with God like through, oh, it may be a 5-minute, you know, reading on your phone or some type of app. And you say, oh, well, you know what? I spent my time with God today. But the thing is, he told us to abide. You know, does a root of a tree ever get up and walk away from the tree? It never does. So our relationship has to be an abiding relationship. And walking in Christ, it has to be a lifestyle. And I think a lot of people in the church don't realize that, you know, even myself, you know, have straddled with my own desire in opposed to God and God's ways. And I think this is why so many trials and stuff in life, when they come, it causes people to want to walk away, or it causes people to, you know, to begin to, you know, vacillate between two polarities, you know, whether they're going to believe God or whether they're going to believe their circumstances over there. It's because we don't have that ability to stay. And Paul talks about how he died daily. He had to put his flesh under subjection to God. So what he was doing, what he was dealing with, what he was facing, his number one focus was Christ and to please him and his message and his gospel of the kingdom.
Amen.
Amen, brother. You're absolutely correct. Rev, you can go ahead.
Yeah, I think that, you know, when it comes to understanding Jesus was broken, and it wasn't until he was broken that restitution came, that redemption came. Uh-huh. And so far be it for us to think that we can skip that step on the ladder, that we can kind of uh-huh. skip that rung and you know, we can just kind of lollygag our way through salvation. And, you know, I'm not trying to get into a doctrine of works, because I don't believe there's a doctrine of, I don't believe you can do anything to be saved. But by the same token, I think that what we do, it does prove that we are saved. Paul talks about when we came into Christ, we are a new creation. All old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. So there must be this desire. That's what I loved about David. David had a desire. Was he perfect? No. But he had a desire to be all that God wanted him to be. And that's what we have to walk with. We have to have a desire. I think at times, even as Christians, whether we're carnal or struggling or whatever our status is, I think sometimes we forget that God is all-knowing. He knows your heart. And watch this.
Yeah.
He knows our efforts. He knows if we're really trying.
Yeah.
So if we're fooling anyone,
yeah.
it's just ourselves. So we're
Amen.
Just fooling ourselves. And so we must become serious. And there's only one avenue to becoming serious. You have to train this flesh that was born in sin and shaped in iniquity has to be retrained through the word of God, through spending time with God, through prayer, through praise, through worship, through meditation. You know, it's kind of humorous to me that people will do other things to perfect themselves in other areas, whether it's their vocations, whether it's education. No matter what it is, they'll do whatever is necessary to improve. But when it comes to being saved, it's as if we just want to get saved and wait, and we just sit around waiting to go to heaven instead of understanding that there's a level of service that we must have with God that includes us being an example through word and deed to other people. And so in order for me to be prolific at that task, I must learn of and come to know well the person that I'm sharing with other people. I must learn well that person that I'm trying to be so that he shines through me, so that I don't always have to give words that people can look at my life and say, you know what, I saw how Joe Murphy responded to such and such. He must be a man of God. And not that I'm doing it for accolades, but I'm doing it because I want God to get the glory. And so to me, it's very easy. If we want to be the best version of what God called us to be, we must put ourselves in a place by which we follow Jesus' example and become broken, become contrite, began to learn and understand that I'm not here to try to be like anybody else or look like anybody else, nor do I even really care about what people think about what I'm trying to do with my life. But I have to please God. I have to answer to God before anybody else. And in this season, in this end time season, you're right, Brother Manny, we must become so broken so that God can rebuild us and put us in a place where we can reach out in this season. Listen, God has allowed COVID to linger as long as he has, and other things, because he's trying to get our attention. If the church would wake up and understand this is a season in which God is trying to draw us back unto him, and not just draw us back unto him, but get us in a place where we're mature in him, so we can, like I said before, we can not only know his word, but listen, if you study God's word and you just know it, that's just helpful to you. But if you begin to declare and decree his word, not only over your life and your family and your friends, but other people, that's when it's really powerful, and that's when change really will take place.
Amen. Amen. I'm almost through with this. I want to go into this a whole lot more because I want to talk about dealing with the flesh, dealing with the mind, and dealing with the spirit. This is just a sort of like a preamble of some of the things that God has been showing me. And as I continue my studies, I know that he will continue to reveal more to me and the rest of you, you know, that start to study God's word and allow it to shape, mold. Like, you got to start from the beginning. You got to allow yourself to be a lump of clay and let the potter do his work. At the end of the day, I got something to read to you, but I want to read this scripture in the book of Isaiah, the 57th chapter. I promise I won't be long. I'm gonna go ahead and give the brothers a final word, and then we're gonna get out of here. But nobody's called in, so I'm just gonna continue on. But this is something that we all must take into consideration. 57th chapter in the book of Isaiah, verse 15, he says, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabited eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." In order for that to happen, you got to be in that place. If you want your spirit to be revived and you want your heart to be revived, to be renewed, like Rev was speaking about earlier, that contrition, right, Rev? The contrition.
Yes,
right. Now, I'm going to go ahead and read this final thing, and then I'm going to pass it on to Brother Kevin for a final word and then to Rev for a final word. Now, in this article, it says, as Christians, that's us, being broken gives us an entirely new perspective on the Lord's plan for our lives. We are human beings bound to earthly perceptions, enjoying a steady stream of blessings has an interesting effect on most of us. It distorts our view of the Father, often leading us to assume that he exists for us. This is important, man. I'm telling you, when I read this, it just blew me away. Most of our relationship with God is confined to asking him to bless us. We ask God for healing, for success, for financial security.
We ask him to bless our family, to bless our jobs, bless our plans, bless this, bless that. We ask. If we are honest with ourselves, most of the time we spend in prayer is not really talking to the Lord at all. Think about it. Who is actually at the center when we pray?
Yeah.
I want you to think about that. When we really pray, when we're going before God, are we always asking God to do? Like I told my brother earlier, I said, we're always asking God, God, when are you going to show up in this situation? When are you going to show up in that situation? When are you going to do this? When are you going to do that? And we treat God like he's a genie in a box. But as he said to me, you will start experiencing true kingdom when you are broken, when you are totally surrendered to my will. You'll start experiencing true happiness, true peace, true exousia. True authority and power comes out of brokenness. And there's only one way to do that. It's by sacrificing. Not sacrificing like David said. If you wanted sacrifices, I can give you that. But you know, that's not going to cut it. That's not enough.
Mm-hmm.
Come on now. Come on.
You got to be broken.
Yeah.
And that's how we all got to get. The way David was in that 51st Psalms, he was broke. He's broken. How many of you are crying out to God like that? Not just to receive something, but just because you in your mind know that you're disappointed. You've disappointed God. You haven't done what you're supposed to do. You're ripened in iniquity, shaped in sin, and you're walking around here like your stuff don't stink.
Come on now.
I just wanted to bring that to us because we all have to experience this level of brokenness. And I want to share that or share the beginning of it. There's more to come, as I said, in the following weeks to come. So, Brother Keevan, I want to give you a final word in red.
Amen, brother. I mean, those are some very powerful words and, you know.
Amen.
And very true words that, you know, but he wants to bring a conviction over our lives to draw us closer to him and to show us things that, you know, the Lord just recently, you know, speaking to me, and he was saying, you know, why are you sitting around? So many mysteries that are yet to be unfolded of the kingdom. And the Lord was showing me, he said, don't you know that you'll be learning of me for all eternity? This is just how powerful God is. And the Lord told me, you know, and he was showing me in his word how he said that, I believe it's the last book of John. He said in the last book of John, I believe it's the last two verses, he said that, and many other things that we see him do, that if we, he said that if we were to write them, the world couldn't be able to contain the book. So there's so many levels and layers to God that, you know, when he said that you're going to be learning about me for eternity, this goes to show what type of God we are serving. When he says the Most High, that means there's nothing higher than that. And when we become a part of God's kingdom, the Bible says you were bought with a price. You are your own.
That's
and
right.
In a kingdom, the king own you as his own property. He takes care of you. He provides for you. And this is why the Bible tells us to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
He in right standing. Our prayers and stuff are going to begin to change. You know, like he was, our prayers are, you know, our selfishness towards and everything is geared towards ourselves, and it's going to reflect the heart of the king. So as we press in to know him, we're going to know his heart. We're going to know his mind. We're going to know what makes him happy. Because when we come before the king, what do? You serve the king.
It's
about him. It's about him. So, and in turn, because he's a benevolent king, he in turn rewards you for that. So, you know, it's about pressing into the kingdom. It's about pressing into God's kingdom and understanding that our life does not. I believe that when we get that revelation, we'll be the people of who Paul talks about in Galatians 2 and 20. And we're going to be totally sold out. We're going to be totally sold out to God. You know, I was reading this article and said, are you willing to die for God? And I think sometimes when we hear that, we think about a physical death.
Mm-hmm.
When we bear that pain of death in our body, every day. Every time God says, I want you to go on a 3-day fast, it hurt us so bad. But I'm going to tell you this, it's not a real sacrifice. It's not coming from your heart if it doesn't hurt you to do it.
That's right.
So God is trying to get our hearts. He's trying to get rid of that old thing and give us something brand new. A new heart and a new spirit is what God is trying to give us in this new season, because what we've had before, it went out on us. And God is trying to give us something brand new. And, you know, glory to God, thanks be to God that come to him. We don't have to go on no 40-day fast in the wilderness or go up in some cave, not eat for, you know, 20 days or something like that. We can come right before God daily and be renewed and receive
Amen.
Of his new mercies every day. There's so much for us that we don't even realize because we don't know his word. And in this season, it's about getting back to him and serving him in this season and for us to stop being self-serving.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. When I think of being broken, I instantly go to two levels of idolatry. Idolatry from the perspective of the things that I have placed before God. The other idolatry is me. I put the I in the other idolatry because it becomes about what I want. And oftentimes, because when we have not been before God either at all or the way we should, it will lead to both of those types of idolatry. And you will find yourself saying, hey, with the spirit of idolatry comes the spirit of pride. I don't, there's nothing wrong with me. Hey, it's not that serious, or we don't have to take it that serious. See, we have people in church telling you, it's not that serious. We have people in church saying things like, hey, you know, what are you trying to do? Be holier than thou? See, we got to change our conversation in church first, among the body of Christ. We got to change that conversation, and we got to get to a place where we can get right before God, and then hold each other accountable, like the scripture says, without us getting into a debate about, well, you can't tell me about what I'm doing when you're doing. No, see, that's all the wrong attitude, and all of that is wrapped up in both of the idolatries, because we have mistaken accountability for something that is not love when it really is love. Because if I don't care about you, you can bust hell wide open for all I care if I really don't care about you. But because I love you, I'm trying to encourage you to change your way. And watch this. And you should be able to hold me accountable. See, in Christianity, there's no tit for tat. that there's an understanding that we are all in the kingdom, and we all need to be serving the king, and we all need to be subject to the king. And idolatry comes with not only the spirit of pride, but it comes with the spirit of arrogance. And so we got to be careful. We got to be careful because the devil will have us out there thinking that we're the best thing since sliced bread. And the truth of the matter is, as Brother Keevan so eloquently put it, we're missing out on so many things that God has for us that have absolutely nothing to do with material things, nothing to do with financial things. Now, don't get me wrong. God can fulfill those needs with ease. Money means nothing to God. He doesn't need money, so he doesn't mind you having it. Listen, God don't need anything that we think we need here on this earth because God has that and much more. So we must get ourselves into a state where we first go back to the Word of God and understand I must submit myself not to the will of myself, but to the will of God, and get myself into a place where God is pleased.
Yeah.
And watch this, Brother Manny and Brother Keevan. We got to get to know God's word and stop quoting scripture either that does not exist in the Bible or is not even in wrong context. We got Christians running out here talking about if you make one step, God will make two. Not in the scripture. We have people who have misquoted. Listen, just go out here and speak those things that are not as though they were. There's no place in the Bible that tells Christians that they have the ability to speak anything into existence. They're not God. They're not part of the Trinity. There was nothing, and then God spoke, and then there was something. Christians don't have that ability. And so we got to know God's word so that we can rightly divide it as he teaches us to do. He said, rightly divide that word. And so we got to get back to a place where we study the word. We don't just read it, and we for sure just don't listen to other people tell it to us, and we just accept what they tell us. We got to get on track. The body's got to get on the same page. Stop chasing all these sad side items like prosperity and all this other stuff and abusing grace. And we got to get back into a place where we first know God for ourselves, and we know his word for ourselves, and then we live our lives pleasing to God, not to pleasing to nobody else, but to God. And for that to happen, we got to be broken. And as Brother Keevan says, we got to spend quality time consecrating ourselves before God. That's the only way you can be broken.
Amen.
You can't just go to a convention and be broken. I'm sorry. God bless these people that are having these conventions. To be properly broken, you need to get somewhere, set yourself down, be before God, and let God show you you.
Amen.
Amen.
And guess what, folks?
Yes, sir.
It's not going to be pretty, just so you know. You're going to suffer a little bit, just so you know. But in the end, the perspective, in the end, the blessings and all the things that you maybe struggle with now, being broken may be the answer, could be the key to you overcoming and experiencing breakthrough on a whole different level.
Yeah.
Amen. That's good.
So I'd like to thank you for joining us. If you stay with us this hour and change, listen, we appreciate it. We don't take it for granted. We want to tell you that we love you. We're praying for you. And as I said, tomorrow, if you didn't hear earlier, we'll begin the 8 a.m. prayer for the youth, the young people of our generation. God has given me a mandate and asked that we start a prayer for our young people and it's going to start at 8 a.m. Central Standard Time. I'm not going to put an end time on it. I'm just going to pray. And if nobody shows up, I'm going to pray and I'm going to cry out to the Lord on behalf of our young people. Last night or the night before last, we had another mass shooting at a club. It was really just chaos. 13, 15 people shot, I think. Two people died here in the city of Chicago on the south side. And I know that this is going on in other places. And, you know, as we embark upon the summer, you know that the devil has a whole new strategy that's an old strategy, but he's implementing it like it's a new strategy to take out our young people. Have you ever thought about that? Have we ever just become so desensitized to death and to murder and to violence that when another child is murdered, whether it's the police, whether it's people in our community, whether it's COVID, have we just become so desensitized that it doesn't even matter to us? I mean, really. So you have to see that there's a strategy against the young people of our generation, you know. And as I said earlier on Facebook, the old mothers and those old men that used to stand in the gap and cry out, they transitioned and received their reward and glory. Who is next? Who got next? Who's going to step up and begin praying and interceding for these children, for these next generations of people? Somebody was supposed to get the mantle, but somewhere we're dropping the ball for some of us. And so I'm going to start that. You're welcome to join me. As I said, that information is to call in. When you call in, you're going to call 712-775-7061, and the access code is 591031. If you just want to call in and just say the names of the young people you want prayer for, you can do that. If you want to pray along with me, you can do that. We're just going to bombard heaven with the prayers of the righteous ones. Amen.
Yeah. Amen.
So I want to thank my brother, Joseph C. Murphy, senior pastor of the Caring Church of Memphis. I want to thank my dear brother, Brother Keevan. He is here. God bless you, Brother Keevan. We love you, man. Always welcome to come on.
Amen.
Preach that word, man. And I want to thank you, the listener, for taking time out to listen to us and to share with us. And you're definitely welcome at any time to come back. Don't forget, tomorrow evening we have Brother Nate and Brother Ronnie coming back with their lesson and Bible study on the mark of the beast. Little Horn is the next. Let me see here. I want to get it correct. The next episode or the next broadcast is going to be Restoration, the Church, the People, tomorrow at 7 p.m. Don't forget, you can tune in there at Central Standard Time, okay? So for myself, for Brother Keevan, for Reverend Murphy, I'd like to say thank you. May God keep you. May God bless you and protect you and your family is our prayer. Amen. God bless you, everyone. Love
Amen.
You.
God bless.
Love you too.
God bless you, brother. Love you, brother.
Now, how many of you know that Jesus reigns?
Conquer death, hell, and the grave.